Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Friday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FMB Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Get into all kinds of different stuff. What is Jared's ideal Father's Day? We will find out at the end of the show. So you got to keep on listening to find out what is his ideal Father's Day consist of. NBA Finals ended last night. Golden State Warriors' fourth championship in 8 years. Where does that put them amongst the great teams in NBA lore? How many more can they get? Is this kind of the swan song? Sure doesn't seem like it. So how many more can they possibly get? And now all the NBA attention gets focused to next Thursday with the draft. Thunder talk. Will they make both picks in the first round, the second and the 12th pick, and also keep them? What would be your perfect scenario on what to do? Then we'll hit the U.S. Open, an update on the U.S. Open. And by the way, along with the U.S. Open, one of the coolest commercials in a long time was played yesterday as I was watching the online coverage of the U.S. Open from the USGA. It was so cool. I'll tell you about that. And of course, OU. OU playing at 1 o'clock against Texas A&M in the College World Series. First game of the day. Talk about that as well. And whatever else is on your guys' mind, feel free to chime in. 225-9698 is the phone line or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with us online, kadsam.com, or download the Paragon app. The app has it all. Three radio stations, got the Penny News, Big Elk TV, and Paragon TV. It's all free right there with the Paragon Communications app. And, of course, the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you miss the show entirely, it's available on kadsam.com or iTunes. Hello, Jared.
How are you this morning?
A little tired. A little tired. Probably spent too much time celebrating Jimmy's win last night.
Jimmy's win.
Jimmy.
What now? What did you have going on?
It was the seventh week carryover of the scramble in Sayre.
Okay.
And somehow, some way, Jimmy, the president of the Sayre Golf Course,
our very own Jimmy Clark,
ended up with the three best golfers that were there on his team. Strange.
Weird. El Presidente got the best of the best, did he?
Yeah, he did.
Congratulations, I guess, Jimmy.
Maybe.
For having some advantages there.
Yeah, way to go.
That's why he's a little happy rolling.
Oh, of course.
Well,
Could he sit down on a chair because his wallet was so fat?
Well, his head barely got through the door.
Yeah, and I wish I would have played with him because that way I could tell you whether or not they used one of his shots. I know they did use one of his shots because I saw him make a putt.
He made a putt.
Like a three-footer.
Sounds like my scramble game.
I don't know if he did anything else, but he did do that.
At one point,
I thought I saw a towel on his shoulder where he was just kind of cleaning off everybody else's golf clubs.
He's a towel boy. He was a towel boy.
He was the caddy. So I'm spritzing the guys with water.
Was he giving them advice?
They weren't listening. I wish they would have been. It might have been different.
Was he driving the cart, getting them to their ball?
Oh, for sure. He was definitely had one of them riding around with him.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny just thinking about it. Just envisioning that. Seeing Jimmy in a caddy like type jumpsuit.
Yeah, I had the white Masters jumpsuit on.
Did he have the... Oh, he's giving us hell. He's texting me.
You know.
Let me make sure I'm going to read it before I say it.
Yeah, I wouldn't just fire that out there.
I'll leave that off.
Here he is. But he was.
Well, that sounds fun.
He was kind enough to stay around.
Yeah.
Oh, here you go.
Speaking of round, did he buy a round?
Yes. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Okay. So that's why I'm a little bit, probably 80% right about now.
Oh, good for Jimmy.
Oh, here you go. Good. From his own teammate.
Oh, okay.
Took a few of his chips. He made the putts. Kick ins, LOL. You know, those that you're like, it's the 7 week carry. We probably should make that two footer.
Yeah.
So he was able to knock those home.
Good for him and his team.
Yeah, not really. Not really good for him.
Because we got to deal with it today.
Well, and it wasn't me. That's the main problem.
Well, yeah.
That I'm having with all this.
Oh, that's good. That's good stuff.
It was a I don't know how many people were there. It sure seemed like a ton.
Yeah.
Lots of folks. So that's good.
Awesome. Man, today this
turned out to be a nice evening too.
Yeah, it did. It did.
It was a little bit breezy.
It calmed
down. And then by the time we played 3 or 4 holes, we kind of looked around and went, "Whoa, where did the wind go?"
Yeah. I noticed this, you know,
the wind left and the mosquitoes came.
Oh boy. Yeah. I noticed this morning, you know, in the mornings, the last few mornings it's already starting the day breezy. And I let the dog out and enjoying the nice, cool, I say cool, medium weather, medium air. And there's not a breeze. And then I hear this, yeah. Oh, my goodness, mosquitoes.
Yeah, I've got one right on the back of my left love handle. I'm working on a mosquito bite where I'm going to end up scratching it so much where it bleeds.
They get me in my ankles more than anywhere else.
Yeah, if you look at my legs, there's little scabs from that.
They don't bother me so much, but man, my poor kids, you know, the kids, they feel it and they start itching, you know. But I mean, with all that rain, that's usually what comes after that is those dang skeeters.
That's the one bad thing about the rain. Yep. Is it brings mosquitoes.
Yep. Oh well. Man, this weekend, speaking of this, I mean, Father's Day weekend, and I know you mentioned that, I won't give away my plans, but I might give you a little clue. It's the first time in a long time I got nothing going on. I got nothing going on tonight. Nothing tomorrow. Nothing Sunday. I might have to go dust off the clubs and go swing them. Just enjoy it, you know? I think the weather is going to be hot, but when isn't it hot? Half the wife.
I wish she was here.
That's funny. Well, I'm not going to do it. That's for sure.
Come on, Jared.
You get you like a back right scratcher.
There. Yeah, I know. Right there. There it is. yeah, we'll talk about the Father's Day plans coming up here at the end of the show. What are you guys doing? 225-9698. That's the phone or the text line. All right, U.S. Open update. Second round is underway. Raise your hand if you know how to say the leader's last name. I think it's Duffy. Which is an interesting name for a golfer.
This morning, that is what I think
MJ Duffy.
Yes.
So MJ Duffy, South African, is 5 under par, 2 under today after a 67 yesterday. He's 2 shots clear of Matt Fitzpatrick and a host of other players at 3 under par. I kid you not, and listen, I'm not the world's foremost authority on golf, but I know I pay enough attention even to the European tour to kind of know most of these names. I swear to you, I've never heard of Callum Tarran. I don't even know if that's how you say his name. The guy that was the clubhouse leader for a while, the first guy to shoot 67 yesterday. He's an Englishman. Callum Tarran. Never heard of him. He's 3 under. David Lingmerth, he's played golf at Arkansas. He's a Swede. Won Jack's tournament a few years back. And then he's been fighting injury and a bunch of different stuff. He shot 3 under par. Rory, the pre-tournament favorite, also 3 under. Joel Damon and his weird hats, 3 under. Adam Hadwin was the overnight leader at 4 under. He's 2 over today, so he's fallen back to 2 under. Sam Burns, probably the hottest guy on the golf course right now. 3 under par today, 2 under total. He's a guy that's been playing great this season, kind of even flying under the radar. But Sam Burns, 2 under. As far as guys that are out there, Dustin Johnson is 1 under par, 1 over today. He shot 2 under yesterday. Jason Kokrak, Richard Bland, Dick for short, he's 1 under. The even par is Victor Hovland slipped back to even. He was 2 under just a couple of holes ago, so he's had a bad one there. So he's even. Gary Woodland's even. Justin Rose, 2 over par today, even par. Fat Pat's even. Justin Thomas has fallen back a little bit, 2 over today after a 1 under 69 yesterday. Scottie Scheffler is 1 over as well. And so that's kind of where everybody's at. I thought the golf course held up just fine. It's probably not as firm as what it will be or what they were hoping it would be. What I'm trying to tell you is I think yesterday is going to be the most scoreable day, and it still played around three shots over par. And so the lead being 5 under, if you're looking like for targeting some kind of winning score there, or even worse in my mind, as I think it's only going to get harder from here throughout the next couple of days. So, you know, the guys, if your favorite player is a couple, 2 or 3 over par, they're not out of it by any stretch of the imagination, because I just don't think anybody's going to run off and leave the field.
Yeah, looking at my guys, not looking good. Cam Smith, 5 over, hovering around the cut line as it stands right now. Of course, that could change. And then Tommy Fleetwood, 4 over. But like what you said, and I know, you know, Hovland started the day 2 under, is that correct?
Yeah, he got to 2 under, I know
it
for
back,
sure. Yeah.
But with everything you said, he's still, in my mind, a contender in this thing.
Oh, 100%.
Depending on how he finishes today. And so is Rory. Absolutely, Rory. Everyone kind of, you know, they praised the play yesterday at 3 under, tied in second. A lot of people picking him, myself included. But it's hard to go, and I heard this said yesterday. I'll give Brad Copeland credit. He said it's hard to go wire to wire of 4 rounds of really good golf. But if anyone can do it, I think Rory can. And just looking at the guys above him, who? That guy? Oh, I know him, but who?
Yeah, Matt Fitzpatrick is a guy to watch out for.
He's a guy, yeah.
He won the U.S. Amateur on this golf course back in 2013. And he's a U.S. Open style guy. I mean, he's so meticulous and he's so kind of analytical. You know, he was up on toward the top of the leaderboard through 3 rounds of the PGA at Southern Hills, and they were talking about what he has recorded every golf shot he's ever hit in tournament play as a little kid on. So he's got made notes of every shot he's ever hit. I mean, he's that kind of analytical brain.
You talk about
brain.
A student of the game.
That's
it's
right.
Quite literally the sense right there. That's
yes.
That's awesome.
And so, you know, he's kind of that's a strange anomaly for sure for somebody to do that. But he's also a very formidable player that probably hasn't quite got it done over here like you would expect. Mm-hmm. But watch out. That's a guy that can absolutely win this. But to your point, outside of him, who?
I mean, right.
Is Callum Tarran going to beat Rory McIlroy? No. MJ Duffy? No. The one thing about Rory's round yesterday was it's super clean. He had 4 birdies and 1 bogey. He bogeyed the last hole. And so, you know, that's kind of what you see. But there's going to be a time where there's going to be a struggle. And how can you kind of hold it together,
yeah,
and shoot a score? A
don't
couple.
Don't let one hole beat you.
That's
time.
Right, yeah. And turn into more and more. A couple of guys that did that fantastic yesterday, and it almost feels like, okay, they got their bad round out of the way, and it was still a pretty good one. One of those guys is Jon Rahm. Jon Rahm did not have his best stuff whatsoever, and he still shot 1 under par.
That's exactly where I was going to go next.
And the other guy that did that was Xander Schauffele. He got off to a bad start. He held it together and got it back to even par. He was actually 1 under and then bogeyed the last hole. So those are a couple of guys that didn't have it like you would hope, like they would hope they would have on day one, yet still shot a very good score. So those are some guys maybe to watch out from coming from behind.
Guys, I want to keep other guys I want to keep an eye on. DJ, Dustin Johnson, he's already 1 over today, but still sitting at 1 under. That's kind of an interesting story for me because of, you know, he played at the Live, and there's questions of has he peaked as a in his career with his ability, and does the prestige of coming over and back and trying to win a major, is that still there? That'd be something else if he can get himself up to the top and kind of you know, answer those questions or be forced to answer those questions if he's there on Sunday and winning. You mentioned Jon Rahm. I expect him to make a move today. And other guys that, you know, a lot of people have in their top three, like Zalatoris or his name escapes me. I was looking right at it. Well, Morikawa. So today is going to be really interesting for me. really not so much of who makes the cut. I almost could care less. It's the top 10, 15, 20 players and where they – I see where they are now, but where they end the day and who's leading after today is going to be incredibly interesting for me.
Yeah, because if there is one guy that might be able to run away, it is Rory.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen him do that in U.S. Opens past at Congressional in, 2011. Just dominated the field to the tune of a 7 or 8 shot win. So I think as much as anything today, how does he play? And if he plays great, how far ahead is he of the guys that feel like they're really contenders? No offense, MJ Duffy, but it ain't you. So how many shots is he clear of Fitzpatrick or, like you said, DJ or you know, Morikawa, Rahm, those guys, Adam Scott, Max Homa, you know, those types of guys at one under, you know, JT at even. I mean, he's not out of it by any stretch of the imagination. But Rory can really put some pressure on these guys coming into tomorrow if he goes out and hangs another 67. What if he's 6 under par and 2 or 3 clear of the field? Then guys have to start thinking about, you know, when it's almost like a horse race. Do you start whipping, using the whip too early, which in a U.S. Open can lead to bad things that not only don't win you the tournament, but quite frankly lose it for you. You know, so that's one thing I think to look out for this afternoon is what does Rory shoot?
Yeah,
from just a running away from the pack standpoint, because I don't know, even if MJ Duffy ends at 6 or 7 under. That's not scaring anybody of the true contenders.
And if you're Rory, he's seeing those guys, they're one we met, you know, Duffy included, everybody in front of him thinking, I can catch these guys. And then on the other side, those guys are going, man, it's kind of like a Tiger Woods effect, you know, like,
a little bit, man.
They look at the scoreboard and go, oh, Rory got another one. Oh, another bird. Oh, boy, he's on my heels. So there's that. I could see Rory just kind of like a race, getting to that inside lane and seeing a hole and going for it.
And that's a great comparison because Jack, Tiger, those great ones, they didn't always have to shoot a great round on Sunday because they just kind of coasted.
Yeah.
And do what they have to do because they built a lead. And so that could be – he is the one guy that can do that on any leaderboard, but this one especially with the way it's shaping up at least right now early on in round 2. Did you see that commercial yesterday? Did you watch it online?
I'm going to guess it's the commercial with the kids.
Yes, okay. The little kids making the most memorable putts in USGA history. That was so cool.
And the celebrating, too.
Yes, it was like a replica. Yeah. It was Payne Stewart from 99 at Pinehurst, Michelle Wee's putt in the U.S. Women's Open, and then, of course, Tiger at Torrey Pines. And it's little kids dressed up just like them, making those putts and celebrating how they did. That was so cool.
Sometimes commercials are so good you don't walk away remembering what they're selling you. What was this commercial for?
It was USGA.
Okay. I see. Yeah, I saw that a couple times.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Just cool.
That's one of those commercials, you know. I mean, I had it on, I'm working, and you know, just kind of glance up, find a little scoreboard, watching a shot, then looking up, and their commercial. Well, usually when you see, they're a commercial and you go back to your work or whatever you're doing, that commercial, I stopped, put down my pen or whatever and just, what is this? And watched it. And every time it'd come, I'd go, oh, there it is again. That is so good. Yeah. That's a good commercial.
It was really good. Really well done. Great job, USGA.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times those don't necessarily hit the mark.
Exactly. Yeah.
That one hit the mark.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Watching highlights of Scotty Scheff. He hit a shot that I would hit.
Oh, well.
Which, that's not a compliment for Scotty Scheff.
Speaking of bad golf and putting, my goodness, Phil.
Oh, dear.
What's going on there?
He's terrible.
Does he care?
You know,
does he care?
It was interesting because I was couldn't wait to see what the reaction was to him when they announced him on the first tee.
Yeah.
It was by no means negative. Probably wasn't as boisterous as you're used to, but it was certainly a warm reception. And it feels like the fans have been in his corner. It's a gentleman's game, right?
I mean, you're not going to go, boo!
You might. You might, especially in Boston. But they, you
that's
know,
true. It is Boston.
He's still filling. He's still got people that really like him. Until he hit a shot, and then he shot 78, four putted from 15 feet. He finally hit a good shot on the par 3 sixth, and then managed to four putt and make double. Currently 11 over, he is ahead of a few, not many.
Not many. 11.
Like nine
over.
People. He's actually beating 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people, and tied with a host of others there. So the dream pairing that we discussed yesterday isn't coming to fruition. Half of it might. Rory might very well be in the final group on Sunday. Phil will not be at the golf course on Sunday, as he's going to miss the cut by miles by the time it's over. You just wonder how much of a distraction all this is on him, and how much he just isn't sharp because he hasn't been playing much golf. I mean, he hasn't played a tournament in the United States since January out at Torrey Pines. That's been forever ago.
Yeah.
Just his second turn. And you know what it shows you? And people that like Phil aren't going to like what I'm about to have to say, but it's just the truth. It shows you how hard major tournament golf is. And you know what it makes you appreciate?
What's that?
Tiger Woods making the cut in the PGA and the Masters.
Very true.
With playing the same amount. How amazing
one,
that
one
is.
One leg. Yeah.
It's an amazing accomplishment when you put those two guys side by side. Essentially playing the same schedule, but one guy is completely healthy, the other guy is broken down. And how he was able to will himself to make both of those cuts is incredible.
You know, I'm not a guy that, I mean, it's always something, it's a factor we always talk about, and it can be offensive for some, maybe because I'm approaching 40. But the dude's 52, too, you know?
That's correct.
That's something we got to think about. We always have, you know, he's not a young guy like these guys, other guys out here. He's 52.
The anomaly was him winning the PGA last year, not missing the cut at the U.S. Open. That's the norm. The missing the cut at the U.S. Open is going to happen. The anomaly was winning the PGA at 50.
Right.
That was the crazy part.
Right.
And it's just more astounding as you move away from it. With everything, think about 13 months ago. May of 2021, nobody was riding higher than Phil. And what the depths that he's dropped to in the last 13 months, there's no way you could see it coming. I mean, he was cheesing and giving everybody the thumbs up all the way down the fairways of Kiawah Island just 13 months ago. And now he's wearing all black and has a 5 p.m. shadow looking like Hollywood Hogan in the NWO.
I cannot confirm this, but I think Voodoo Child plays when he walks up to the tee box.
They played a song yesterday. I saw it on Twitter, but I didn't listen to it. We were on the show. I was wondering what it was. I was hoping that was it. I mean, I think in the next live event, he may have like a black bandana over his head.
Come out playing an air guitar. Or using his club
That's what he needs to do. Yeah. Use his club.
Just embrace it.
I mean, he's got the look.
Yeah.
Somewhere between Hollywood Hogan and Johnny Cash. How sad is it to see the logos on his clothes are him? It's his logo because nobody's sponsoring
him.
No
one's endorsing him, yeah. Yeah.
The fall has been mighty.
It has been, and you kind of hope that for the sake of his career, which has been good, obviously, but you'd hope that there's a way that he can salvage this fall into something graceful.
Yeah, no, so, I hope not.
I know you don't like the guy, but you got to respect what he's done.
Oh, for sure.
And I know everybody loves a fall. I love it. I mean, everybody loves to see that. But it's just juicy stuff that they can click on and read and see. But at the end of the day, I mean, he contributed a lot to the game, and you just hope there's a way that, you know, like a cat, he can just fall on his feet and everyone, you know, it's graceful and that's it. And call it a career, Phil, you know.
Why? Why would he do that when he's taking the Saudi money?
I know that.
Oh, here you go.
But it's a legacy thing. Do you want this stuff to out? I mean, if you're him, do you want all this stuff to outshadow what he's done on the golf course?
Of course not. But that's the problem with doing it, because it's going to, at least in the short term. Yeah, there you go on the text line. Taking on the Saudi look with the dark clothes and the beard. Maybe he just needs a turban.
See, okay, you said it. I was thinking it, but you said it, so I'm not.
I did. I saw.
You went there.
I saw the Charlie Woods parody account.
Oh no, I'm aware of it. But seen,
oh
no.
My gosh, it's funny. He was talking about Phil wearing the red pants. That way, it would disguise the blood money that's in his pockets.
Ooh! Wow!
Ouch.
Man,
but here's
speaking
the deal.
Of wrestling, that's from the top rope right there. My goodness.
200 mil and walk away. Ain't that might have been softball games too long yesterday. Oh, speaking of that, champions, huh?
Yes. Got the ship. And it was, yeah, not done yet. State tournament's next. But, yeah, got a win last night. It was fun. 15-9. And our record now is 26-4.
Very nice.
Very proud of those girls. Very proud of them. Got down 4-0 like that. They didn't shake. They were nervous. They were booting the ball around. That's how they got down 4-0. But they came out and got a 6-spot on them, and they did not let up and hit the ball hard. And I mean, I don't want to single anybody out because everybody top to bottom had a role, and they did great. I couldn't be more prouder. Could not
Fantastic.
Be more prouder.
State term is next week, isn't it?
That's next week over in Stroud. And we're going to get back to work. We'll have the weekend off. Like I said, I have nothing to do this weekend. It's weird. But we'll get back to work, and we'll go see what we can do.
You know, used to, well, it's been 2 decades now, so I wouldn't say used to. But at one point in life, Stroud was a destination.
Yeah. Well, listen, they got great facilities. I'm told they've
I'm
built-
talking about with the Outlet Mall.
Oh, the Outlet. Oh, well, now it's...
It's kind of a big old concrete slab.
Yeah.
Question on the text line, whatever happened to Jason Duffner? That's a great question. I actually saw him tweeting about the Live PGA thing on Wednesday.
Yeah.
But as far as playing golf, I have no idea.
I don't know.
You don't see his name on leaderboards.
No.
So I don't. That's a wonderful question. We'll have to do some research, figure out what's going on with Jason Duffner. You know, he was a pretty likable guy there for a while. Kind of a fun guy to watch.
Yeah. He's one of those guys who go, oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Right now, you know. Yeah. That's a good question.
Looking at a picture of Victor Hovland in a bunker. Wow. Where it looks like he's almost hitting it off his knees. It's up in the face so much. Huh. All right, NBA Finals finished up last night. The Golden State Warriors defeat the Boston Celtics in 6 games, 4-2. Fourth title in 8 years. And to you know, the first three, they were always in the mix, right? And then all of a sudden, 2019, they lose in the finals to Toronto. KD gets hurt. Klay gets hurt. Everybody gets hurt. KD moves on. Then in 2020, they were the worst team in the NBA. Draft James Wiseman. Then last year, a play-in team. Then Klay comes back. And all of a sudden, here they are on top of the NBA again. Pretty amazing, because it felt in 2019 as they're walking off the court in Toronto, it kind of felt like that was it, right?
Kind of. Felt like that was the end of that run. And
you knew that KD
was the next team.
Yeah, you knew KD was probably out of there with Klay getting hurt. Then you know what I'm saying? It just kind of felt like the end of an era. And for them to come back 3 years later and be on top of the sport again, it's pretty amazing what they've done.
Yeah.
So where do you rank them?
That is so hard. The MJ 90s Bulls with the 6 titles is obviously way up. I mean, maybe the greatest of all time. And you got the runs of the Celtics teams and the Laker teams. But I would put Golden State easily top five, maybe top three. I say that reluctantly. But with everything you said, that it was supposed to end back then. Klay Thompson was supposed to come back from that injury. But they all did, and I don't see him breaking up anytime soon. And they had great contribution in this series, not – you know, at one point or another from other guys like of course, Poole and Wiggins. But the whole run with Steve Kerr and the big three, it, like I said, top five, maybe top three. It's one of those questions you have to sit down, look at the wins, losses, margin of wins. You know, there's better teams overall, but dynasty runs, it's definitely top five, solid top five for me. How about you?
Yeah, I think they're more Spurs-ish.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
You know, because it feels like they've...
Spurs were kind of like that too. It's like, oh, that's nice. Hey, they got another one. Oh, Robinson's done. They can't continue to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, there's Tim Duncan.
Yeah, and they kind of had different way. You know, it was like Duncan and Robinson were together when Robinson was still really good. And then as he aged, you kind of thought, okay, well, this is it. Then all of a sudden, here comes Tony Parker. Here comes Ginobili at their height. And then they kind of start to wane just a little bit. And then, boom, there's Kawhi.
Yeah.
You know, so they kind of went through a couple of different versions of themselves, a little bit like what the Warriors have done.
Right.
That, you know, those three guys have been there for all of it, with Klay and with Steph and with Draymond. But, they, you know, first it was them. And then, of course, the Durant years where they were just flat unbeatable until everybody got hurt. And now it's still them, but they're mixing in younger guys and getting contributions from some different people. So it reminds me more of kind of the Spurs type thing. And I get it that, you know, MJ and Scotty, there was kind of two separate three-year runs, mm-hmm. with separate, you know, two different groups. So that's kind of – but it doesn't feel as disjointed as this does or as the Spurs do, just because it was those two. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It kind of – It doesn't feel like two separate teams as much as it really was, and how the Warriors have done it. They're up there. I mean, there's no denying how great they've been. And you know, it's amazing how they've kind of gone from the upstart team that was fun and everybody liked to the villains to now kind of back in the good graces of most fans. You know, it's easy to like them. It's easy to watch them and enjoy watching them play basketball.
Well, the clear reason why it's easy for us to enjoy them is what?
Durant's not there
exactly.
Anymore. But I think that was league-wide, though.
I do. I didn't want to say that, but do you think so? You
100%.
Think yeah.
100%.
Okay.
Because of just the nature of it. I mean, it felt scummy.
Yeah.
It was scummy.
Everybody looked at that move and you know, first they would go after Durant and then after Warriors, like, you didn't need the guy. You guys were winning without him. And then you go and you get the best player, arguably the best player in the league. See, I was trying to avoid that because, like, well, we're right here in Oklahoma.
Well, sure.
And it's easy to, you know, that's everyone go, well, you're a big Thunder fan and you're still mad about the move. So it's hard for me to take that outside, you know, to get outside of that box and look at it as a neutral fan. But the reaction was at the time it was a bad move or didn't look good for both parties involved. But now it's like, okay, and now everyone's like, hey, Golden State, see, you guys can win without superstar, like courting a superstar like that to your team. And that's what we said at the beginning of this. That's why I felt, you know, you don't have to like them. But you can respect them.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
You have to with what they've done. How many more do you think they can get?
A healthy Golden State team, and as soon as the buzzer sounded, their odds for next year's.
Yeah, they're already number one.
They're already the favorite for next year. There's a lot of time to go. I mean, there's a draft to do. There's free agency, all that stuff. But I don't want to go hyperbole and go crazy. I'll say they can get it one more.
Yeah. I think they've got probably a 3 to 5 year window here with Steph and Klay and Draymond still being at some height of their powers. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it's going to matter, okay, how good is Kuminga? How good can Wiseman become? How good can Moody when they have to kind of take over the lead roles and maybe some of these other guys take a step back just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Because eventually that's going to have to happen.
It is.
It just is. I think the next question is, individually, Steph Curry, where does he rank?
He's up there. I mean, it's almost.
Because he was that game last night.
34, he's the MVP. He is 34 years old, but he had 34 last night.
I went with the points first. I didn't say the A.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, you think back to throughout this run and the fortune that Golden State was able to enjoy from what it looked like was misfortune early on in his career. I mean, it felt like he was made of glass through the first couple of years. Ankles, he couldn't stay healthy. And because of that, his first, you know, or his second contract was 4 years, $40 million. He was making $10 million a year when this thing really kicked in. And that's a huge, the luck that has come with this.
Yeah.
Has just been enormous. Because he was made of glass early in his career, he's making nothing. And, oh, by the way, the salary cap all jumped at once to allow them to pry Kevin Durant from here. You know, it's an amazing convergence of circumstances. And then, oh, by the way, he recovered from those ankle injuries to become the undisputed, I mean, basically the undisputed greatest shooter of all time. And the way he's transformed his game from the early on needing the ball in his hands to now just constant motion. And he shoots it so quick. Like he's, even though he's not a big dude, he can still get his shot off at any time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it almost feels
from
like,
anywhere.
It almost feels like he's like Durant like that. But the difference is Durant's 7 foot tall and he just shoot over you. Whereas he gets it off and he's moving around so fast that he's almost that same way. He's an incredible player. I mean, will he be top 15 all time, top 10 all time? That's probably his ceiling. I don't know that he can move in just because of his stature. Does that make sense? I mean, you know, he's probably a better player than you realize, but he's not he dominates the game in a totally different way than all the other great ones have. It's not by sheer force and pure athleticism and power. You know, it's a totally, it's like dominating it finesse wise, but he does it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, that's, I think it matters, you know, the question before, if they get one more, what if they get two more? That only moves him up.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
Because I think for him, like individually as a player, he's kind of done what he can do. He's the greatest shooter. He scored, you know what I'm saying? And so now to me, the things that move him further up that list are all team things, but just winning more championships. All right, draft in a week.
Man, that seems crazy.
I know, doesn't it?
Feels like, okay, season's over. It's not like the NFL.
No.
That's always
all this stuff has been going on while the playoffs go. You know, the combine and
the workouts
and all that.
Yeah.
It's
wild. A lot of big names have been working out for the Thunder. A lot of these top guys, have you been following that?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
So here's the question. The Thunder already traded the 30th pick last week in that deal for J. Michael Green and some picks or what have you. So they still own the 2nd and the 12th in the first round. Will they make and keep the two players they draft at 2 and 12?
Great question. Obviously, 2, yes. That's their number one guy, and they're going to keep him, whoever that may be. There's a lot of rumblings about that 12th pick. I guess I'd heard the rumors. It was brought to my attention by a friend, and I kind of take that with a grain of salt. But then when you start seeing it in print from notable media outlets, you start to take it seriously that there's rumblings of them wanting to move up and possibly package that 12th pick with, among other things, maybe a player or two. So, you've kind of pointed out the scenario of making a draft, kind of like a Dallas-Atlanta situation a few years ago with Luka and, good night, I'm fried today.
Trae Young,
that guy from Oklahoma. Yeah, he was pretty good. There's talks of that, or you floated that around. The more and more we got another week, but I got this feeling Sam definitely wants to get up and get two picks in the top five. He has one of them, and there's a lot of talk of him having talks with Sacramento, who's interested in shopping their, fourth pick?
Yeah, it sounds like Sacramento at 4 and Portland at 7 are two picks that are available for the right price. Now, what is that price?
Well, I don't want to say afraid, but I would think Lou Dort would be attractive to move.
100%. He's the obvious guy.
Yeah, he's a great player. It's an attractive contract that someone would take on. But I think, no offense to Lou Dort, but you can go find another guy to replace his productivity, especially in this draft.
Well, in what you're doing, trying to replace him, and it's also salary-wise, because this is the last year where Lou Dort's contract helps.
Mm-hmm.
After that, then, you know, if he's making $15, $16, $17 million a year, now, okay, shooting 32% from three isn't near the luxury that it is now at making a million.
Yeah. Right. So what do you think?
I think they're going to do something with that 12, and I think they're going to move up. Who they're targeting, most people think it's Jaden Ivey.
From Purdue?
Yeah. That's what you read, is they think it's him. I don't know if that's right.
You think it's Sharp?
I do.
You've been high on that guy. Yeah.
I think it's Shaden Sharp. And, man, if you could end up – if it cost you the 12th and Lou Dort and a future first-round pick to get Chet Holmgren and Shaden Sharp, I'd do it all day long. All day long. We'll see. I mean, you know, we always hear this stuff around the trade deadline or around the draft, and then when it comes and goes, nothing happens.
Yeah.
They just kind of pick the guys they pick, right?
It's not like it just falls apart. You have to have both parties involved.
That's right.
That come to agreement on the terms. And it just, you know, and there's a lot of truth, I think, to rumors sometimes that we hear, but we'll never know for 100% sure until years down the road. But it's just a matter of if all the pieces have to – it's not as simple as some might think.
No, it's not as simple as, hey, the Thunder want to make a trade.
Okay,
they've got to have a trade partner and got to agree to the terms.
Right, and there's a lot of back and forth. I thought draft day was kind of perfect of how that was, you know, hey, give me this. Oh, I want your kick returner. I want this. And there's, you know, a lot of balls in the air that have to perfectly land. So, yeah, Thunder definitely want – I think it's true. They definitely want to shop that 12th pick. I wouldn't go any lower than 5. I mean, is it worth shopping 12 and everything just to get up to 7?
Well, it depends on who's there. It's
risky though. What if he's not there? What if nothing's there?
Well, you don't make the trade because the way it works, you don't make the trade.
So you're thinking this is going to happen on draft night?
Yes. Now for the 7. Now for the 4, it could happen right now.
Yeah.
Because you're not concerned. No matter who you're targeting, if it's Ivy, if it's Sharp, because you know what the top three picks are going to be. And you pretty well know the order. I mean, it seems like it's settled on most mock drafts that it's going to go Jabari Smith, Chet Holmgren, and Paolo Banchero. And with the trade that Houston made to ship Christian Wood out of there, that becomes even more apparent that that's who they want. It is one of those three, but I think they've probably settled on who they're going to get.
Yeah, there's not a lot of mystery at the top three.
So at
anymore.
4, yeah, that's right. And so at 4, if you can make that trade right now because whoever you're targeting is most likely there. And if he's not, one of those other three is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then, you know, if that happens and you don't want to pair, say, Holmgren and Banchero, that fourth pick shopping it becomes way more valuable because one of those, you know, a lot of people think it's a three-player draft and then it goes downhill from there to a different level. Not downhill necessarily, because
sure.
I think most people think it's a bunch of good
different
players.
Different tiers here.
That's right. And so if it's not, if you're picking 4 and your guy is gone, then, man, okay, somebody wants Banchero. Okay, here you go. Bidding's open. What will you give us? And then is it Portland – wanting to move from 7 to 4, right? And it's really interesting. And it's so much fun when you got like one of those, when you are in the level of the really good players.
Yes. I tell you what, if anything, the entire league are going to have their eyes on Oklahoma City and Sam Presti. You see what I'm saying? Like, because they know, man, he's got the stockpile of everything.
That's right.
What is he going to do tonight?
There's just so much stuff that he's got at his disposal. Question on the text line. How much say do you think SGA has?
That's a great question. Has he earned the right to have a lot of say?
I think he has some.
You think so? Well, that makes sense. I mean, you know, what pairs well with him? And who does he think he's going to...
I think that's where he has... Okay, who do you... You know, is he involved in these workouts? Probably not. But if he's, you know, studying it, okay, the question... Okay, Shea, who do you think... Who fits with you in Giddy? Because I honestly, at this point, it feels like Dort's kind of on the move.
Yeah.
If not draft day... When it comes to the trade deadline, depending on how the team is doing, obviously. I mean, if they're way better than anybody thinks, maybe not. But it kind of feels like he's the one that's on the way out. Mm-hmm. And so you know, I think that question is certainly asked. Now, do I think that...
Well, you mentioned Giddy. Do you bring him in? Because it feels like the building of a big three.
Probably kind
of
do.
You know, you got the two big pieces, young pieces. So where's your third piece?
I think that's the question. I don't know if... It's like, okay, Shea, who do you want to draft? I don't know if it's quite to that level, but I do think it's
who pairs
with you?
Right.
Who do you think pairs with you and Josh the best? As far as especially the big guys, and you know, whether or not Jabari Smith is there or not, even if that's at his answer, it may not matter because Orlando appears poised to take him. But I do think he's at least in the conversation, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
He's the franchise cornerstone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think those – I definitely think those conversations happen to some extent.
Yeah.
OU today?
Drive.
1 o'clock. Sooners in Texas A&M kicking off the college World Series. Have you ever been?
No. I've seen
either.
A lot of people have gone. They made the road trip. They've gone to Omaha, even in the old stadium, you know, and now in the new one. No, it's I you know, if I had a – and I love being a girl dad, but if I had boys at this age, it's probably something I'd consider to take them to see, you know?
How about this? J-Mac was telling me the other day that the Weatherford High School baseball team's going.
Oh, very good.
They left yesterday, drove to, like, Salina.
So they're driving. Wow.
And then they got there today. They're going to watch today, tomorrow, and then come back. How
very cool.
How cool is that?
That is cool. Yeah.
That's a really cool trip. Good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've never been. But now, I mean, let's be honest. Pay attention enough to know who won, but now there's a lot of attention being paid because of OU, obviously. But all the storylines there with I saw a great story on the AP Wire about one side of the bracket is basically a rivalry side.
Yeah.
OU, Texas, and Texas A&M. No matter, you know, I mean, if Texas takes care of business, they're no matter what going to get a rival in that next game. That's kind of cool. And then the SEC storylines and the about to be SEC team storylines. So if you're a fan of OU or Texas and the SEC, you're going to get a kind of a preview, maybe a heavy dose of SEC baseball here.
Yeah, outside of Notre Dame and Stanford, that's all it is.
Yeah, that's all it is. So very interesting. And then and because it's so, it feels like I know there's the betting favorites of being Texas and then Stanford, but I still feel like this thing is wide open.
Yeah, to that point, it's pretty interesting because Oklahoma's down at the bottom of the odds to win the series list, but they're the biggest favorite today.
Really?
As far as the first round games, they were the biggest favorite the other day when I first looked at it.
Didn't realize that.
It's just
didn't even look.
It's simply that's just simply Bennett.
Yeah.
Being on the hill.
I got a banner that I've been flying at my house every time. Well, it started in the postseason with OU softball, and they're like, "Hey, baseball's playing today." I'll put up that banner, and I about drove off my driveway without hanging up that banner. It's like, you know, I can't mess with. It's been successful, so I'm flying that banner again. It'd be really cool to see OU make a run here, and it'd be a heck of a story.
Yeah, it's already been an incredible story that just gets bigger and bigger.
Doesn't it?
If they keep on winning. All right, Father's Day coming up on Sunday. What is your ideal Father's Day?
Just hanging out with my family and not really being rushed around to do anything. It's my day, right? It's our day. That's really what I want to do. I plan on getting in the lawn tomorrow. And my wife said, what do you want for dinner on Father's Day? I told her, and I'll help prepare it because it involves the grill, and I like doing that. So I'll,
You don't want the women messing up the grill, let's be honest.
My wife knows her way around the grill. She knows her way around the grill.
Hey, if you can get away with that this weekend is the time you can.
I haven't looked at the weather. I'm sure it's going to be hot.
Yeah.
But if it was nice, I'd probably be sitting in the backyard watching final round of the Open and enjoying some cold brews and enjoying my day. My kids already said, Dad, we're going to make you breakfast in bed. So I'm
sweet.
Looking forward to waking up to some breakfast.
What do you think that'll be?
The typical bacon, eggs.
Oh, nice.
Biscuit. Yeah. They love cracking the eggs, and my youngest loves bacon. So she's already said, we got to make bacon for Dad. And I think she really meant, I'm going to eat that bacon.
Yeah, I'm going to make it for Dad.
No, it's just hanging out. Just hanging out, being around family. How about you?
Are we in the trust tree? Along with everybody else?
I thought we were in the trust tree.
It would be, leave me alone. I'm watching the U.S. Open.
That's okay.
Instead, it'll be, somebody get me a bottle of water here in 98 degree Blanchard.
Oh, darn.
So somebody's going to have to tell me what happened at the U.S. Open all weekend because I'm not going to get to see it.
You got a phone, don't you?
Yeah, but
kind of hard to watch when you're out in the daylight. Yeah, that's hard to do.
Depending on where we're sitting.
Yeah. And then your phone could overheat because you're outside.
Yeah.
Well, sorry about your luck, bro.
Yeah. Tear.
One single tear.
Let's get speaking of the U.S. Open, a final leaderboard update before we sign off for the week. MJ Duffy's still ahead. He's lost a shot, though, 4 under par. 1 shot clear of Matt Fitzpatrick. These guys are on the golf course. A bunch of guys that haven't started yet. So Matt Fitzpatrick at 3 under, 1 back. Nick Hardy. And now Matt Fitzpatrick is 2 back. He just made a bogey. So as far as guys on the golf course, MJ Duffy 2 clear of the field with Hardy and Fitzpatrick at 2 under. Sam Burns, Dustin Johnson, Fat Pat, Adam Hadwin, Richard Bland, all 1 under. Even pars. I don't know how to say that name. Joo Hong Kim, Gary Woodland, former U.S. Open.
Joo Hong Kim.
Joo Hong Kim.
Call him Tom.
Tom Kim.
That's one thing I picked up yesterday.
Oh, really?
They're featuring him. And
I saw him make a long putt.
It was funny.
And he was trying to get the crowd
fired up. That's what I saw. And then they're talking about him. And they said, there's Joo Hong Kim. And they said, he goes by Tom.
So Tom Kim.
And then when he got out of the next tee box, guess what was in front of him?
What?
Turkeys.
Oh, I saw.
Tom, by the way.
I think it was Tyrrell Hatton hit on his first approach shot, kind of skipped through the rough onto the green, and it just narrowly avoided smacking a turkey. There was 2 turkeys that were going across the front of the green when he hit.
That's funny.
All right, so Woodland, Dustin Johnson, a couple former U.S. Open champs at even par, 4 back. Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka. 2 under today, 1 over total. Oh boy, that's a star-studded trio right there. Thomas Koepka and Scottie Scheffler, all 1 over par. Justin Rose as well there on the golf course. And then everybody else will get going in the afternoon wave here in a couple of hours. Victor Hovland, man, he has fallen down the leaderboard. He was 2 under when we got on the air. He's now 3 over par for the tournament. He has made 3 bogeys in a row. Make that 5. He's bogeyed the last 5 holes. 17, 18, 1, 2, 3. After being 2 under par. So that's the U.S. Open leaderboard. We will be back on Monday. We'll have Jim. We'll have recaps of the U.S. Open. Don't forget, Saturday night, Game 2 of the most fun sport on earth, the Stanley Cup Finals. Do yourself a favor.
Oh, that's Saturday. That's
what
it was tonight.
No, nope, Saturday.
Darn.
It's the only time they take off more than it's not every other day.
Okay.
They give them 2 days off.
Well, guess what? I got nothing going on Saturday night, so.
Start Father's Day early. Everybody have a great Father's Day weekend. We'll be back on Monday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered early.